Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of your favourite Sim Racing and Motorsport podcast. I hear you say it's Race Department, Season 2, Episode 4. Following on from last week, we're going to stick to a slightly different format. But before we move on to the topic of choice, joining me in the RD Virtual Studio, recovered from his slight bout of illness, Paul Jeffery. Hello, Paul.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Getting used to this whole isolation, lockdown, whatever you want to call it these days. And how are you?
Yeah, great, mate, thanks. Glad to be back. Hello, dear listeners. Excuse me, as I lose my voice. Good time.
Yeah, that's not a great start, is it?
No, it's okay. Another hour to go. Fine.
As long as it holds out for the next hour, we'll be okay. Squeezing into the virtual RD booth once again is Danny. Danny, how are you?
Good, very well. Thank you very much.
Good. And isolation treating you well?
Yeah, up here in Scotland, the sun has been shining like crazy these days, so it's almost unreal.
But that's kind of unheard of in Scotland, isn't it?
I know.
So, I mean, most Scottish people don't even know what the sun is. So, yeah. Every time I've been to Scotland, I've only been there once, and it was wet and windy. Surprise, surprise. And then, last but not least, the Italian stallion, Davide. Hello, Davide.
Why do you always call me for last?
I don't know. I think it's because you're generally last on the list.
Best for last.
Yeah. So if you arrived on time, Davide, you know.
Sorry, dear listeners. Amateur.
We're bringing the listeners into an outside conversation here. So, we're breaking the third wall, as they call it. Yeah. So, following on from last week's podcast, which... I don't know about Danny and Davide, but I really enjoyed last week's where we were talking about the rise in esports during the lockdown in worldwide at the moment due to COVID-19. Yeah. And then we were trying to think what topic can we talk about this time around, and I came up with one, and it's the guys we're going to talk about their favourite apps for sim racing. So that could be something that's in a game. I even thought, actually, if you wanted to, and I probably should have put this into the chat that we've been having, but thinking, actually, you know, if you wanted to, you could probably add it, you know, if there's a certain feature in a game that you like, which is kind of like an app in itself, I guess, that you'd like to see in other games, I'd allow that. But also, you know, just to kind of help people and give people tips, and I thought they'd be kind of informative. So let's start with Davide then, shall we? Because... I made him last in the introductions. Have you been giving this some thought, Davide?
Yeah, I actually made a pretty handy list with the...
How many have you got?
Well, my favorites are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Right, okay. Well, I didn't say two, so, you know... We pick your top two.
I don't even know seven apps. Never mind.
That's the thing. Yeah. So let's start with number one. What is it?
Well, if I have to say number one, I would say Helicorsa.
Helicorsa. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Good call.
It is a good app.
Yeah, and it's very, very useful.
That's a set of Corsa only, isn't it?
No, I think that, apart of the one that they built in ACC,
yeah.
There is also a conversion of it authorized by the author for Automobilista 1.
Oh, is there? The first I didn't know one. That. Okay.
Yeah.
So how long have you been using Helicorsa?
Oh, well, that's very difficult. I'd say, not from the start of the app, because I think that I... came in when it was at something like 0.5 version or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's quite some time. I think some years that I've been using it. I honestly think that, as I was saying to you guys when we were talking about it another time, it should be mandatory in all sims because it's... for me, it's incredibly useful.
Okay, is useful, and I know what it is, but explain to the listeners who may not know what Helicorsa is, what it does.
Basically, it is he's trying to make my life hard to explain things. Yeah, no, sorry. It's basically our radar that's on your screen. At the center of this radar, there is your car. And basically, you can place this this radar wherever you want, wherever it is more, wherever it is better for you. And on this radar, you will see other cars that may be around you, or in Paul Glover's case, overtaking you.
Nice, very nice. Nice.
No need for that.
And
I'm gonna ask the developer of this software to put in an eject button or a soundboard or something so I can, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and it is more more useful than the usual arrows on screen, because with the arrows you don't have exactly the perception of where your opponents are. Instead, with the helicorsa, it's very, very clear on the radar. If you have never tried it, you can imagine that it's very obvious to perceive where the other cars are. Also because, sorry if I make this a little off topic, I don't know if you guys noticed, but it seems like in Sims, as more as we go go forward, positional audio, at least for, I never tried all of the Sims, like, for example, I cannot talk for iRacing, let's say, but for the Sims I've tried, it is more difficult to hear where your opponents are compared to older games like GPL or GTR2 or GT Legends. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but because I have this difficulty, Helicorsa really saves me, because otherwise I would be more of a danger.
No, I don't know. I wear headphones when I race.
Yeah, me too. But I don't know.
Generally can tell where the car's coming from.
As I'm saying, I don't know. Maybe no one relates to this, and it's just me. But with late '90s, early noughties Sims, with headphones, I am able to perceive also the distance that there is between me and my opponent. Not only where he is, my left, my right, behind, more or less also an approximation of his distance. Instead, with like, for example, Assetto Corsa, let's say one, I cannot do this. I can understand where he is, left or right, but I cannot understand how close he actually is to my car. I don't know, maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I don't know how realistic that would be. I'm just thinking, like, I think you're right. I think it probably isn't as noticeable in more modern games, but if you're sat in a cockpit of a loud car, are you actually really going to hear another car that well? Danny, were you going to say something?
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say, that maybe before in the older games, this approach was maybe a good help to give you some cues, but maybe not as realistic, since you will always hear your own car louder than any other car. So I don't know, again, but I think that's the reason why it's less to perceive that. Yeah, these days, maybe. Because maybe they've developed it a bit more realistically.
I'll definitely pay a bit more attention to the sounds in game and try and see where you're coming from. Well, I mean, I've used Helicorsa, David, and I think it is a really good first app to think about. What I like about Helicorsa is it's not permanently on your screen, is it?
Yeah, it can be invisible and come up only when someone is approaching you. That's something that I didn't say before. The radar is completely invisible if you are, any opponent is at a certain distance. You can customize it. Let's say, for example, 10 meters beyond, or you can always set it to signal you cars that are in front of you, and it comes up only with a car close to you. So it's how do you say in English when something it blends perfectly in an environment without disturbing? There is a specific word.
I guess.
It's a verb.
That's not the right word, I guess, actually. What would you say?
Yeah. Sort of merged or blended or something along those lines is what you mean. So it kind of like becomes transparent at certain times when you don't need it. It's not a solid fill.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to go back to your point about when it was released on February the 1st, 2015.
I think 2016
actually developed
for me.
By Minolin from Kunos. And it got uploaded to Race Department around about about a month later. But it's had just over 92,500 downloads, which is and that's just on Race Department. I'm sure it's located in other sources that you can download it from the Assetto Corsa forum as well. So.
And I think it's now standard, isn't it, as well? Is it part
in,
of the default
in competizione
build?
Yeah, it is.
Basically they hired Minolin to get the ease up, not just for that. Of course he's an incredibly talented person, but one of the reasons was to have the ease up Helicorsa natively built in the same since the start. So
yeah, it's great. Yeah,
that's how much success he had with his work.
Well, okay, we're going to leave you there. We'll come back to you for number two.
Yeah,
I'll give you, because I've constantly got a list of seven. So, I'll be honest, listeners, it's not what I asked him to do. I asked him, I mean, I wish people could just follow simple instructions, a bit like when you're walking down the pavement and
you
you're
didn't
supposed to be keeping
me
a
2 meter
distance and somebody heads towards you. You're like, what is wrong with you?
You didn't give me a number. You said make a list of your favorite apps.
I said two. I'm telling you, it's in.
Well, to be fair, I've got a list of none, so that's pretty good going. I'm just going to wing it from here to me. So, well,
just take
well
two from David. Just ask them to give you two, and you'll be fine.
We want to be taken seriously, people. You got to prepare.
Dan is right. Paul, if you want, I can give you some of my.
No, it's okay. I've got some vague ideas. I'll fill.
Oh, these, people are downloading these episodes, trying to listen to professionals, and they get us.
I'm trying to prove that you don't always need to be prepared, that your inherent knowledge of the world of sim racing is more than enough to get you through a podcast.
we shall see. Let's just get ready to rip it apart. Okay. All right. Before we move on, David, actually, just a quick question for you. Would you say that if you had a Assetto Corsa, and you were new to Assetto Corsa, would Helicorsa be the one you would say the first app that they should install?
Oh, that's if you plan to,
because it's your number one, so I would expect you to.
But
put you into a corner there.
True. I would say that if you plan on playing online, straight out of the box.
Yeah,
absolutely. If you are planning on doing just offline, or at least do offline for quite a while, maybe you can go for something else. It's still very useful. I play 99% of the time offline, but in that case, I would say that maybe it's not essential online.
Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. All right. Thank you for that one. Danny, over to you. What's your first one?
Okay, so the first one I have here, it's many have probably heard about it. It's Crew Chief.
Oh, so, I love a bit of Crew Chief.
Although I haven't used it in a while, I did use it a while back, and it's really cool because it's been made by the community, which is really great, and it's grown really a lot over the years, and it's supporting pretty much all the sims, I believe.
Okay, so just for anybody that may have not, the likelihood of people not hearing about Crew Chief, but you never know, somebody might download the podcast that's new to sim racing, especially in the current climate. Explain to me and the listeners what Crew Chief is.
So basically, Crew Chief is a program or an app that you can install, and it runs on the background, so it's not linked inside any game, that it's coming straight to your ears. So what it does is, you have a guy called your chief, called Jim, in the app, and he's telling you all kinds of information, like a race engineer would at a track, let's say. So you can ask him about time gaps to the guy in front, the guy behind, or you can ask him about how much fuel is left in your tank, or what's the your splits to the previous lap, or how your tire pressures are, tire temperatures, etc. Tire brake temperatures, if the car has this data logged. And on the side, well, on top of this, you can also add a spotter. So this is mostly used in NASCAR, I believe, because they are very close to each other all the time. But it can also be enabled to be used in any kind of game and in any kind of track. So you have, on top of that, you have another guy that can be telling you if a guy is on your left or on your right, if it's on your blind spot or if you're in a tight corner, letting you know if that is still there, and then letting you know when it's clear to drive away, basically.
Yeah, great description. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal app. What I like about it is you can tell it your name.
Yeah, they've been adding people since the beginning. They had like, I don't remember, maybe they had like around 100 names, and now I think they have maybe over 1,000, I don't know. And there's,
I'd like to know who Jim is. Who is Jim? Does anybody know?
I wonder if it's the creator of the app itself. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and then because I noticed that then you got a lot of spotters as well, and I want to know how you find those people to, you know.
I know that the one called Matt is Matt Orr, which is known as Empty Box on YouTube.
Right.
Okay. I don't know about the other ones. There's one called Claire, which
Claire. I quite like having a female voice, actually, kind of rather than a guy's voice telling me where a car is, because it's quite good distinguishing between the two, that one's Jim, the engineer, one's the spotter. So I tend to set a different voice for the spotter.
You touched on being able to ask
for information. How would you do that?
Sorry, can you say again?
You touched on being able to ask for information. How would you go about doing that?
So, well, you can either set your... there's actually a few ways. You can either have a push-to-talk kind of button, or you can hold it, or you can actually just have it to trigger when you say, "Chief." So it'll hear a little beep in your headset when it's when you press your button or when you say "Chief," and then it'll be listening to you, and you can say, for example, "Give me the gap to the car in front," or "How are my tires?" you can even say, if
it's
you want
brilliant.
To stop
it
giving
really
you
info. I generally use, if I'm when I last used Crew Chief would have been in an R Factor 2 race, because I don't use it in a set of Corsa CCNA, and we'll talk about that shortly, but... I'll say, just give me full update, and it'll tell me the fuel and how much I'll need in my pit stop.
You can also do a Kimi Räikkönen on him. If you don't want to hear it anymore, you can tell him, "Shut up, I know what I'm doing."
Yeah, you can.
And he'll
stop
giving you updates.
Do you have the swearing enabled?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes it brilliant. And I do love that. It'll just swear at you if you're not doing so great.
Yeah, sometimes you'll even swear if you just miss a breaking
tips,
point.
What tips would you have for Crew Chief if anybody was new to it? What would one of the tips be?
I think there's a lot of options to go through, and I think the best would be to initially just start using it, and you'll see right away that you get some information that you don't need, and then you'll be wondering, can I get this or not? Or some other thing that you might be missing. So if you go on the properties, you can... click on away and say, like, "I don't want to hear this," or "I want to hear that," or "I want to get the spotter to tell me when the car is 5 meters away, not 10 meters away." So it can be fine tuned, but the best would be just to start using it.
I tell you what surprised me about it is I can't remember who I was racing with, but it came out with someone's surname, and it's not what I would consider a regular surname. I don't know if that's because I don't know how you get your surname added to the game. I don't know if there's a way of requesting it. I've never really looked into it.
Yeah, there is.
But is there?
Yeah, you have to go on. There's a website where, at the bottom, there's like the crewchief.org.
Yeah,
it's the website.
Yeah.
And you can go there and you can. There's a. I think I haven't done it in maybe over a year or more. You can request to add like a name. And you can even write how to. Like, you write the name, and then you can even write kind of how you would say it in English.
Yeah, phonetically.
Like,
yeah, okay.
So that if you see, they have... and also, the app recognizes when you're in any game. So say ACC or R Factor 2, if you're playing against people that put their first and last names as their profile, it will recognize the second names as the last name. So he won't say this, for example, "Glover has just set the fastest time." So he will at least... find people's names and say, it looks like Glover has gone off, or it looks like Nativo has a best sector, or
it'll
give you this information as long as the names of people are in their profile. So it's really cool.
Yeah, no, I do like it. It's really, really detailed. And as you rightly said, you know, it works in different games. Just have to remember to, because I've done it before where I booted it up and I'm like, why is Crew Chief not working? Oh, it's because I was playing a different game, so I have to tell it what game I'm playing.
Yeah, the reason I don't use it anymore is because ACC has its own spotter kind of race engineer.
Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty much the game I use now, so I haven't used Crew Chief in a while. But it's a really great app. It's really in-depth.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, if you want an app that's going to cover all games and help you, Crew Chief has got to be a number one download. Yeah, I genuinely believe that.
Agreed.
Unless Paul comes up with something better in a moment, which I can't think about. But yeah.
Well, I've kind of got a confession to make. I've never used Crew Chief, and you've just sold me on it. That sounds awesome. I didn't realize
how
it was good
you
as
never
that.
Used how come?
I'm surprised.
I don't like spotters. I don't like to tell me someone's on my left hand side, because unless it's
NASCAR, you can turn it off.
Or
you can turn off
the IndyCar,
spotter.
You can turn the spotter off. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You see, I didn't realize it had quite the level of depth and detail that you're talking about. So I've always just overlooked it, really, and never bothered. So
what I like about it is it's got, because like when you download the app, there's then three sound packs you have to then download as well, and they're regularly getting updated.
It sounds like a really good, and this is a free app, isn't it?
I mean,
you can donate as well.
Donate, which I've done for some apps. I'm not sure if I've done that. I don't know if I ever donated for Crew Chief, but
actually, I'm going to try to see
somebody
if
that uses Crew Chief. I would, you know, highly recommend that you do so. Just, you know, just whatever you can. It doesn't have to be a lot.
Just nice to show your appreciation. I'd try and do that for mods or apps, or if there's something that you genuinely like and use and it's beneficial to you, then. Just a little bit of gratitude's always well appreciated by the author, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So, Danny, were you going to say something else there? Sorry.
No, I was just going to go. Well, I can do it in the background. I'm going to go through the sound files. I mean, in the folders to see if they have Jeffrey and Glover and Nativo in there.
I think they definitely have Glover in there. I don't know about Nativo. I don't know about Jeffrey or.
Yeah, because it has to warn you that. He's on the track. He said, "Warning! Yeah. There is Glover. Be careful!"
Yellow flag. Must be Glover.
Has gone off
spinning,
the track on turn one.
He's spinning everywhere. Be careful.
Ah, basically, and the car in front's Paul Glover. Don't bother overtaking; it'll soon screw up.
Paul Glover. You see that now? Even Paul Jeffries on our side. So you're in trouble now.
Well, to be fair, it's not far from the truth. I mean, you should have seen the state of me in the race at the weekend. Yeah.
All good humour comes with a grain of truth involved.
Yeah. The thing is, well, it was a bit annoying actually, that race on Saturday. I know we're talking about something completely different, but I slowed down because there was a yellow flag and I saw an incident in front of me. And then as I'm avoiding that, I got absolutely pillared in the back. And this time I didn't hit the map button. So that was good. I changed the button. So I kept going, but the car didn't feel quite right, and I think I had one. What's annoying is I spun, and all the practice I've done, I'd never spun. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it? I just seem to fall apart when it comes to racing. But anyway, okay. So we've digressed there, Mr. Jeffrey. Over to you. What's app number one?
I'm going to mix it up a little bit because Davide and Danny have both referred to in-game apps, and I'm going to go for more a broadcasting and teammate app.
Okay.
So I'm going to go for the universally awesome, incredibly exceptional SimHub.
Yeah.
Which is something Paul and I have recently discovered,
haven't we?
Yeah, recently discovered, and we're still scratching the surface of what its potential is. So I'm sure it does a whole load more than we're aware of at the moment. But SimHub, for people watching at home, it's...
Watching?
Listening, either. Oh, they might be watching. Could be on YouTube.
Could be looking. Yeah, we put it on YouTube now. A few days later. Yeah.
Looking at the podcast logo on the screen. Like, you never know.
I don't know why you haven't put your beautiful face up there. Oh, sorry. No, I didn't mean beautiful. Anyway. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Carry
People
on.
People have seen more than enough of my face, mate. Don't you worry. So SimHub is a predominantly broadcasting tool. So on there, it's works with pretty much every racing game. Not just Sims. It also works with very arcade titles and simcade titles as well, old stuff, new stuff, constantly being updated and improved. And one of the core bits of functionality from a broadcast perspective is it's very, very adjustable. So you can have on-screen timing, you can have overlays where the camera's looking at a certain driver, it'll tell you the driver name, or it'll bring up data and information that you want it to bring up, which is exceptionally cool. But also it has a range of dashboards on there as well. So if you've got like a tablet or a phone, or you've got a steering wheel with an LCD display on it or something along those lines, there's a whole ton of customizable dashboards that can bring all sorts of data depending on what the game can generate. So I've got a Formula One style wheel with an LCD display on it, which I've never really used. And I fired it up into that the other day.
Oh, you not really used the wheel or the display?
The wheel.
Right.
Not really. Okay. I just don't tend to drive Formula cars very often, so okay. I've never really got round to it. And I thought, I'll give it a go, see what it's like. And it's got all sorts of data. So you can have computer data, like your CPU temperature and all that good stuff if you want. Or you can have car data, so how much battery you've used or how much fuel you've got left. All the usual stuff. There's a million different parameters you can have for it. You can customise its design, so you can have one that you download that somebody else has created. I was just looking at an idea earlier. Someone's created a dash that's exactly the same as an AC Cobra, for example, or this Formula One style ones. There's so much customization, either what you download from the community or what you can make yourself. You can have the timing screen on there if you want. It's beautiful. So it's really nice from a driver's point of view that you can have these different dashes and you can have them on screen or you can have them on a second screen or whatever. But also from a teammate point of view, if you're doing like a car sharing type effort or an endurance race, so you've got a team manager, they can pull off a whole load of different data as well, so they can see the data about your car and your lap times and everything, so they can remotely monitor. So basically it's like a pit wall info.
Right, yeah. So like Christian Horner type like stuff.
Yeah, really good if you're doing endurance, multi-class and stuff, so you can see where you're dropping off or where you're losing and gaining time and instruct your driver accordingly, so they've not got to manage it themselves. And then another aspect of it also kicks out really good live timing screens that you can use from a commentary point of view, or you can broadcast for the viewers at home to watch if they're watching an online event and everything. So it's really, really multifunctional. And the other aspects that I've not delved into yet, it's got things like it will power your butt kickers or your motion motors and other different things as well that over and above just the visual stuff. So it's massively powerful and massively detailed. And the beautiful thing is, as I say, it works across all games and all sims. So you've got like a bit of a one-stop shop even tool, yeah. No matter what you're driving, that it gives you a wealth of data. And the key for me is in a way that you can tweak it so it visually works for you. So, I mean, I've used things like Motec and telemetry outputs and stuff, but it's all in a certain way and it can be a little bit daunting and phasing, whereas I want things that are really quick off the mark while I'm driving. How am I getting on? What's my temperatures like? What my tyres looking like? What are my gaps and the delta to the fastest car or my ultimate? All this is adjustable. At a push or a button, you can change that data to read something else depending on what state of the event that you're in. So I think it's an amazing tool. You can donate, and that unlocks a little bit more functionality, but not much. Or you can get most of what you need for free, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, it is, really, isn't impressed. It, really? And we were testing it, weren't we, from a broadcasting, yes, standpoint for leaderboards, yeah. And we discovered it wasn't quite playing ball with ACC. And I posted a message in the forum, and the guy jumped straight on it, which is just an unbelievable turnaround.
Now, to be like fair, 3 hours after you posted, he'd been on our server, he'd done some coding, and he'd sent us a beta to test within 3 hours of sending the query.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, now I'm not saying that it's going to be like that all the time. I'm guessing he's at his desk because he's like everyone else, he's on lockdown and quarantine and everything else, whatever we call it. But so I'm not sure if that's a usual, but I mean, still, you know, for something that's free, I mean, I had, you know, like you, I've donated to it because it's just, you know, I know what other app I've donated to, and I'm surprised actually that Davide didn't mention this one, Content Manager.
Ah, yeah,
oh,
that's a good,
yeah,
shout.
But AC, yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's an app, more like a software.
You know, like, but then so SimHub, so is CrewChief, I'd say they're both software. So app software kind of,
you know. Yeah.
I mean, this could very quickly turn into the most boring podcast in the world when we're debating the merits of WhatsApp and what software.
Yeah,
so
no,
let's skirt that one.
Yeah,
and
yeah, agree. Yeah. Shut up, Davide. Right, okay.
Put him in his box.
Get back in your box. Right? Yeah. Well, not, anyway, right. He quietly just scutters off. Brilliant.
Calm down, Glover.
SimHub, I think you're right. I don't think we've really touched the skim of it, haven't we? The skim surface of what it can do.
Sorry, Paul, go on, mate.
I've known about SimHub a while. Like, I've heard of it. I keep seeing the name kind of pop up in forum posts where people talk about compatibility with it and things like that. But I kind of knew that it did dashes to a degree, but I didn't really understand how versatile.
Well, the thing with the Dash is, I always assumed it was like a second monitor Dash. So if you've got like an extra screen on your rig, or you've got like a tablet or something, but also that it does Dash overlays. So if you've got no real estate on your machine, so you've not got any extra screens or anything, you can overlay like a virtual Dash in your game.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
So
you're not even limited to not having hardware. You can have a little Dash that's draggable, and you can put it wherever you want on your screen, and that's got all the same graphical power and data gathering skills that it would do on your tablet or whatever. So, I mean, it's to be fair, there's no reason not to use it. There really isn't. It's if you like information and data, because I don't like heads-up displays. I don't like game-specific data. I like the data of having tire warmth and wear and stuff, but I don't like having it because it's not in the real car. But if you can have these dashes created or create them yourself that only tells you the information that the real car would have.
Yeah.
So you can still have info, so you're not blind completely, but you're keeping realistic as well, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I guess in real life, you would ask the engineer, wouldn't you, for the temperatures rather than having them in
exactly. I mean, in front of you. It's useful. If I'm competitively racing, so if I'm going online in a league or a club event that I want to do well in, I'll have it on because I'm stupid not to. It's daft not to have that level of information.
Yeah.
But if I'm racing offline or something that doesn't particularly matter, I'll never use it and just try and keep to driver feel because I like realism. So the whole R-Factor 2 used to have some good information in terms of tyres. It tells you where the wear is on it and the temperature and all that kind of thing, which is massively useful, but as you say, you don't have that sort of heads up display information in a real car, so
yeah.
It's no dice for me. But a great tool, and it powers as well butt kickers. So anyone who doesn't know what a butt kicker is, it's like a base shaker. You can attach them in a million and one different locations and way onto your rig, but that uses the telemetry that comes from the sim to add shake and vibration based on how you've got it set. So if you get four, for example, one on each corner, you can have it on chassis mode and it mimics the chassis movement and the tyre scrub and all that kind of thing. Sounds gimmicky, but actually in reality it's an outstanding addition. Or you can have it underneath your seat for doing like road noise and curb usage and stuff, or on your pedals, whatever. You can do a million different things. And there are a range of free and paid software that will power these, because like everything, like a wheel, there's a load of adjustment you can do to get the feeling you want out of it. But this does that as well, and it's quite powerful from what I've read. So it's like an all-in-one tool for a load of different add-on stuff. I think it does some motion as well, but I don't know much about that, so I'd have to look into it before speaking with any level of authority on it.
Hey, all right.
It's cool.
Yeah, no, it is. I think it is cool, and I think the picture you showed the other day of your you know, your wheel with the data in the screen looked really good. So yeah.
Well, I was checking that. The funny story, I thought, I don't use it and I need money. Let's get it sold. So I'll just test it, make sure it works everything first. Now I'll put it up on RD. And then I had no thoughts about it. I thought, I wonder if SimHub lets me do it. And then it came up and I'm like, oh, this is mint. This is proper cool. I'm not selling it now. It's really cool. I'll never use it, but I can't part with it either. Yeah, it's just too cool.
None of my wheels have that kind of display, but you can get like a a display that would sit on top of the of
yeah,
the
base. I used to have one because you've got the Club Sport, haven't you?
Yeah.
And when I had the Club Sport, I had one of those ones that sort of just screws onto the base of the Club Sport, and you can see it just above where your wheel is. And that one, those are there's two different kinds. The one I had had pre-configured stuff, so it had lights for shifters and gears and stuff. But you can get ones that are just LCD screens where you put those...
Customise them.
Yeah, you put those SIM updater into it. So they're quite spicy. They cost a bit of money, but they are very, very cool.
Yeah, money at the moment is not something I'm trying to spend with the current climate that we are in. So,
And I just dropped for a brand new graphics card, so I need to sell as much stuff as I can to try and recoup some money on that one.
Paul's now selling his body, so
I've always been selling my body, mate. But... Always been selling my body. Nobody's interested.
Right, okay. Right, so that brings us back round to Davide. So, Davide, what's number two? Yes.
Well, number two, it's difficult for me to say because I have a couple apps that I like both very much, which are basically Sidekick and Pro Tires, both for Assetto Corsa.
Good choices. I was wondering if you were going to choose Sidekick because I use that a lot.
Yeah,
it's so let's start. Useful. Okay, I'll let you have both because they are both. I mean, there are so many good apps for AC. I mean, ACR Fuel is another one. So you've chosen Sidekick and what have you chosen? Pro Tires?
Yeah,
both great. ACR Fuel is one for me that is a great addition. But anyway, okay, let's start with Sidekick. Tell the listeners what Sidekick is.
Okay, basically Sidekick places a sort of a widget on your screen that shows the basic informations you may need about your car and the session you are in. So you can have the gear you have you're using in your
timing
car.
You have your timing, don't you?
Yeah, exactly, the timing of the lap you are currently doing, the speed, both in kilometers per hour and miles per hour, the delta from your previous lap or your previous best, both in session or all-time best. You can choose which one of the two. Tire temperature, tire wear, fuel remaining, fuel consumption, pedals, and what am I missing?
Did you mention tires? Sorry.
Yeah, I did. And I know that from what I've said, you can have the impression that it must be a massive widget with a lot of information all at the same time. It's not. It's very compact, and that is why it is incredibly useful, because it allows you to not have the screen cluttered with a ton of widgets displaying all kind of information. So you have them all on a single line, you can say, and basically you can choose from the app which one of these you want to show up, or if you want to, for example, because the app is divided in the different sectors, in multiple sectors, if you want in a single sector to show more than a single information, like for example both tire temperature and tire wear, you can set the app to scroll between the two every 3 or 5 seconds, I don't remember exactly which one of the two. And the app alternates the two informations in that particular sector. So it's very useful to have a compact widget with all the basic informations you may need.
Something I remember it could do as well, it can show you ERS, can't it?
Yeah,
you know, the ERS consumption. DRS it can show you as well, can't it?
Yeah, it shows you, you're right, it shows you with a simple bar, the RPMs you're making, the turbo pressure, the KERS, if there is in your car, of course, and DRS when is available.
Yeah, it's a great, you're right, you know, like it's so compact, but really, really useful. And I like the fact that, like you say, like You use the word sectors, but I think the word you're looking for was sections, you know, like... So, you know, one bit's dedicated to the time, one bit's dedicated to the lap delta, another one's dedicated to whatever, another one might be dedicated to the track temperature, the next bit might... And the next one, I think, probably is tyres, when it, and then, like you say, it can rotate between the PSI and the wear, and it's, and then you've got the pedals. It's just... You know, I was looking at the downloads in around on race department and just looking at the apps, and just the apps that are available for AC is, they're just, you know, so it can be a bit of a minefield. So picking out these wonderful apps to recommend from people, if they're new to AC, which still happens, even after all the years it's been released, because they put it on sale in Steam quite regularly. It really is a great, great addition to your overlay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to let you have three. Let's move on to the next one then.
And the other one was Pro Tires.
Okay.
Pro Tires is another app that gives you another widget, pretty compact, that shows your four tires. And you have information through colors and numbers about the temperature of your tire on three layers, so the external, internal, and core, I think, and you can see also the pressure of the tire, not only the temperature reached, but also the pressure, and the wear, and if there is any dirt on them. And as Paul Jeffrey was saying before, it is a bit of an unrealistic app, because a driver doesn't have all of this information, at least immediately visible. He can have them through the race engineer, but
and it's a lot more informative than the standard tire app in AC, isn't it? The default app.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I think that it is useful and it is acceptable to use, because after all, in sim racing, we are, as I wrote in one of my older articles, a one-man army. You are supposed to be driver, race engineer, mechanic, lot of stuff at the same time. So having this kind of, external help helps you to manage all of these different data and things you have to keep under check.
Yeah, okay. I think great choices. Again, an addition that is ACR Fuel, I think, is a great... But I think what's really quite surprising, Davide, is Pro Tires has only had about 9,000 downloads, as where Sidekicks had about 62,000 downloads, the same as your first app choice. So really surprising that Pro Tires isn't getting the same amount of love.
Well, maybe because, Assetto Corsa already has, as you said, a native built-in app for tires. So probably people do not even try Pro Tires because they say, I already have this app. They make the same thing. They don't. But, you might fall under that impression and don't try Pro Tires, which, as you were saying, goes much more in-depth with the data it provides compared to
the
old one.
Okay, all right, great stuff. Thank you very much, Davide. Danny, back to you. What's your next one?
My next one is a bit more general, and it's like an app philosophy, because there are different apps for different games, but it's basically using MoTeC integration with the games.
I know of MoTeC, but I don't really know much about it.
So basically, with R-Factor 2, there's the DAM plugin. I remember with AC1, there's Acti MoTeC. I haven't tried it yet for ACC, but basically it's it was already present and actually integrated in the game in GTR 2 back in the day. Right. So basically, it's reading all the telemetry from the game. So the tire, like pressures, the ride heights changing as you go along the track, your position on the track, if you're more to the left or the right of the track, or it's basically logging everything like on from the game. And then you can go back after the race and you can go and check everything, and then you can plot your own maps. You can have like throttle traces, brake traces, steering inputs, suspension movements, and you can then analyze. It's a bit of a post-processing app. You don't actually use it while you drive. That's the thing.
Right.
It records the data from your driving, and then you can go back, look at it, and see, okay, here. Then you can, of course, overlay with it somebody else's file. So you can say, okay, this guy on this corner broke, like, I don't know, 50 meters later. Okay, maybe I should try to break a bit later and see.
Yeah.
You can just overlay plots of data over each other and compare and see where you can improve.
So it's a bit like having the guys in your F1 garage looking at the telemetry after laps have been completed.
Yeah, basically, but you're doing it yourself after you drive. So yeah, like David said, it's like a part of being the one-man army. You can go, well, you can spend quite a lot of hours in this. The returns are not necessarily like mean that the more time you spend, the more you get out of it. Because if you're just analyzing the wrong things, you're just like going in circles, not really getting out of it.
You don't know what you're looking at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah. It requires quite some time to get benefits out of it, if you don't, especially if you don't know what you're looking at and don't know how to compare this information. But if you know how to use it and you know what you're looking for and you know how to plot proper data and not overcrowd yourself with information as well, then it can be very useful, and it can really, well, especially in a team environment when you have various people to compare data with and work with.
Yeah, so maybe if you're training for like an endurance event, which Paul referred to not long ago.
It makes more sense in that kind of environment, I would say.
Yeah. So if for instance, if you've got a teammate that is two seconds a lap quicker than me, which is probably most likely, you could have a look at their data and see where they're making those gains a lot easier than, because it's quite hard just visually watching a replay and understanding where those gains are being made, I guess. But if you've got that as a visual representation, then it's
And you can
be...
even have more subtle information. For example, imagine if you're practicing for an endurance race and you have a teammate that is doing the same lap times as you, but by the end of one fuel stint, you still could run another stint on those tires, but he has totally ruined the tires, although you're doing the same lap times.
Yeah.
So you can actually go and plot and see, okay, in the tight corners, you're turning in very sharply and you're taking a tighter line, and you can actually see, although the lap times are the same, you can see different driving styles with this information and see where people can improve to save their tires a bit more and so on. So it's, when used in depth, it can be really valuable, I think.
So you've actively used it, have you?
Back when I've done a few endurance leagues, and then I used it with my teammates, and it was useful then to catch up with them basically and stay at the same level as they were.
Is it one of those things, if you start getting into it at first, it's quite daunting?
Yeah, it can be, especially if you don't have anybody else that knows what to do with it, and if you're just with your mates trying. But I mean, it's just the first time. Once you start getting used to it, then with the next game or with the next it'll be, you already know what to do, just have to be ready to spend quite some time on it. That's the thing.
Right. Okay. All right, brilliant. Thank you very much.
No worries.
And last but not least, over to Mr. Jeffrey. What's your next one?
Yo, well, just to go back to Danny's point about MoTeC for a second.
Yeah.
That's something I've always been fascinated by. But I did exactly what you said, Paul, and it's phased me and daunted me, didn't fully understand it. I love that kind of thing. I miss endurance team racing and sitting down and pouring through the data and stuff. And
well, you know, you've got some teammates right here if you really want to.
I have, yeah. That's something really I'd love to do. Something I'd really love to do. The idea of looking at the data.
I've already come up with a team name.
Oh, God. Is it fit for public consumption?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Go on, then.
Juvenile Motorsport.
What?
Oh, dear.
No comment.
Yeah, just stick to hosting podcasts, man. Right. But yet the idea of that sort of thing fascinates me. And I once...
I'll tell you what, I could just be team manager. I'll just manage the team. You guys
you
do
can
the
just
racing.
Make, you can make
you're
going to
sack us after
I
the
can
first
make the
race.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not effing good enough. I've got Daniel Ricciardo. Right, yeah.
Exactly. But I just think it's a brilliant tool. And I raced in a team once where we had a driver come in who's an eSport professional actually now. It's Haniel Sapte. and he showed us an overlay. I'm not sure if it's part of Motec or not in R Factor 2, where all our fastest laps were overlaid on top of each other, but it's the physical car. So I loved that. I could see where he's turning in compared to where my ghost turns in from a helicopter view, looking down, top-down view, and you can see the different lines and where he's gaining and where I'm gaining and all that sort of thing, and then back it up with the telemetry. It's a really, really detailed tool that you could easily lose half of your life to studying. For people, I don't think it's a great tool for people who are starting out that can probably find more speed just by knuckling down and getting on with a driving. But when you've got to a good limit and you want to get to an exceptional limit, that's when it starts paying dividends, that sort of thing.
Yeah, this is when people get serious.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of people I hear, I've had a few reach out, funnily enough, which is coincidental with the Driver 61 thing we put up, saying, oh, I need some training, I'm absolutely lost. I don't know how to do this, that, and the other. And I still think training's good and tools like Motec are good to take you on to the absolute pinnacle level. But actually, just getting on there, staying, having fun, not thinking too much about it, and just get it so you can bang out the same lap time, time after time after time, through just driving practice and not screwing up and doing stupid things, has more value. And then when you get to that level where I know on track A, I can get a 1 minute 34, but I can't get any lower than that, no matter how hard I try, then tools, then training, then support, etc. That's when that comes in and really starts paying dividends.
Yeah, practice is the best medicine, isn't it? Just doing laps and laps and laps. Yeah. And I found that if I'm, you know, preparing for a race, the more practice I put in, the better I'm going to fare in that race.
Shock horror. Shock horror.
I know. Danny?
Yeah, the thing is like practicing, it gets you to a point, but it's like doing many school tests, and if you do it again and again, you'll get better at it. But if you don't get proper feedback from somebody who actually really knows.
Yeah.
So the Motec is this thing. Level. Motec gives you actually, if you use it with somebody that actually knows what they're reading and know where to look for and where to look to make you improve.
And also what you've got to remember is like when you're working as a team, just because, you know, like go back to your point a moment ago, Paul, about the overlay of the ghost, you know, his lap time might be 2 seconds quicker than yours, but you might be half a second quicker than him in the first
sector. Exactly. And that's an amazing tool for that.
So he learns as well as you learning. So it's good for, because I've seen it before where I'll be 2.5-3 seconds slower than the fastest lap, but I'll see that I'm one of the fastest in the first sector.
Yes,
you know, which shows that they can still learn something from me, but I need to learn something from them from sector two and three.
A lap time is made up of microseconds of track activity. So you might be lousy on 14 corners, but on the final turn with a 3 kilometre straight in front of you, you're a second quicker than him. So overall, you know what I mean? It's every little corner. If you can make a tenth of a second, which is nothing, per corner, on a 14-corner track, that's the difference between last and dominating.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
I think it was good, easy for me to say. That was good digressing. That's what I was trying to say. Right.
Yes. Okay. So my second app is altogether more functional and boring, but for me, absolutely critical for everyone. The Force Feedback Clipping app.
Okay. Yeah.
So does nothing exciting, adds no value to your driving experience in terms of like what you can see.
Is this in AC or is this an actual app for all games?
This is in AC, but I think, and I'm not sure about this, it's also variations thereof are on different games.
Okay.
So basically, your steering wheel is your portal to feeling the racetrack. We're not in a real car. Most of us don't have motion, so we're not feeling stuff through his bum. So the force feedback is a mix on your wheel of real forces based on physics, so what the car's doing underneath you transferred into your hands, and also there's an element of canned effect in there to make up for not having different forces being in a real car, obviously. Now, clipping, like in audio, it's a case of your wheel is capable of low-end to high-end ranges, depending on what wheel you've got, etc. But if you can have the forces all too high, that it clips over, so it goes over what your wheel's capable of producing. So if you think the game is telling you information from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you might have everything set too high. So when it gets to 8, the wheel's physically not capable of going any further than that because everything's turned up loud. So you can't hear the small details. So if it's music and you're recording something, you bang everything up to the top volume, you can't hear the cello in the background, because you've got the drums banging and the guitar banging and the singer banging. So a force feedback clipping app tells you whether everything's still within the range of what your wheel's capable of producing. So you can feel the fine details, you can feel the wheel angle slip, or when understeer and the effects that's starting to give you, or when the rear end's losing traction. Because frankly, it could be the best sim in the world, but if you've not got your force feedback configured, you're not going to feel any of the nuances that the developer wants you to feel, and you're not going to get a good driving experience. And that, in turn, will affect your on-track performance, because you might spin for no good reason because you've not felt the loss of traction, or you've not felt the understeer kicking in, so you're pushing wide on the corners and you can't get your apex speed. So for me, that's one of the most fundamental things, is to get the core mechanics of the game right first before you even bother with any of the extra stuff on top, because that'll improve your enjoyment and also help you find lap time and consistency as well.
Yeah, hands down, that's the best app. I think you win. That's the most fundamental one, I would say.
Yeah, it's critical. Otherwise, it's just everything's wrong.
Back to my question earlier on. Do other modern games like ACC have it built in, or
some games do?
ACC does. If you go on your little HUD on the corner, I think if you have your, I think it's in the no, the fuel is in the clutch bar or something like this. The clipping one, I think it's gray. It's a little bar. It's next to the throttle and brake inputs.
Right, okay.
There's one there for force feedback clipping as well. I don't think R Factor 2 has one. There used
not
to be an app.
Not at the moment. I don't think it does. Since DX11. And I think AMS2 had one, but it's not fully implemented yet. So that still needs a bit of work. But Race Room have got one to a certain degree, but there's also an aftermarket one you can download that's just got that bit more detail in it. And it's critical, because, as I say, if your wheel's configured wrong, you're getting entirely the wrong experience.
Yeah.
So much so that when I finally got it to work, it was like I had a new wheel. It was like, wow.
Yeah,
I just
exactly.
bought a new wheel. I didn't know my G25 could feel this good. That's how important it was to use it.
Yeah, it's probably more... Would you say it's more prevalent if you've got more of a basic wheel, like a
no.
G...
No, it all, doesn't matter.
All wheels,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah?
All wheels, direct drive wheels through to anything that's got force feedback output.
Okay. It's,
because the other thing as well is, let's say a direct drive wheel compared to, say, a G25 can handle much, much higher forces. It's got a much larger bandwidth and range. But if you've got everything maxed out, you've got everything maxed out. So whether that's a small amount of range you got to play with or a ton of it, if it's maxed, it's maxed. And you're missing forces that you should otherwise be feeling. If anything, in a more powerful wheel, it's more important, because those fine nuance forces will be more pronounced because you've got more power output. So if you're missing them, you're missing a percentage higher level of data than you would have been on a lower powered wheel, if that makes sense. So yeah, critical for any wheel user whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
But completely worthless on a controller,
really,
because there's no force feedback, obviously.
That's something I'm gonna go and research.
I really would. It's very, very it's important, because, as I say, little things like I can't say these people that have made these comments have got the force feedback wrong, because I don't know, but when ACC was in its early life, which is a sim I'm a huge fan of, I'm a huge fan of the force feedback, I heard a significant number of people say the car's spinning on me, and it's not telling me why, it's just spinning, and it's rubbish, it's ice racing, blah, 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 blah. Well, my force feedback were telling me exactly what were happening. I knew, but I'd never lost the rear because the car was out of control, so I could feel it in the force feedback. So I wondered if they'd not got theirs dialed in.
Right.
So it's outside of that range and the car is just pirouetting on a coin.
So it's a bit like the current pandemic we're in at the moment, isn't it? A lack of knowledge and people just spouting rubbish, potentially.
Potentially, but I think Davide wants to say...
Yeah, I know, I'm just ignoring him. Sorry, Davide, what's up?
I wanted to say that I second everything that Paul has been saying so far about the importance of the FFB clip up,
yeah,
and of setting the force feedback to an adequate level to your wheel. And, something that makes me smile from time to time is I won't make any names, but through watching some videos I wouldn't say simple videos or streams, just to just to
doesn't
keep
have any
everything
Debbie,
general.
Does it? Yeah?
But what? You can see some you can see some developers, some professional drivers. You know, people that should know their stuff.
Yeah.
That have their first feedback clipping like crazy, and right. And yeah, that makes me smile because I think you know, you are a professional driver and you aren't noticing that you are clipping so much. So yeah, this app should be much more renowned.
Yeah, it should be something that people are educated about. Because
yeah, because.
It's important.
Yeah.
Danny said it right. It's felt like a brand new wheel.
Yeah, honestly.
Right. That's a big thing. Yeah.
If you have a wheel and you don't set your FFB right, basically you are just better off with a controller because that wheel is just, you know, a shaky round object vibrating without sense, without giving you any useful information. So there is no point in having a wheel
If anything, if you've not got it set right, it might be telling you things that are false. So not only is it giving you nothing, no information, if it's clipping and not giving you, it could be actually misleading you rather than not telling you the full story.
Yeah, so no point in having a wheel and not setting your FFB properly.
And didn't I tell you, not preparing kicks ass? I've done fine. I've got no list and I've come up with good suggestions. Oh, thank you very much.
Here we go. Here's a little game.
Here we go.
Lollipop for you.
Danny, you want to say something, don't you?
Yeah, the thing though, it can bring another thing back about the force feedback though, that yes, it's important. No matter the wheel, if it's a low-end or a high-end wheel, as long as you get the max force of the game to translate to the almost the max force of your wheel, that's the perfect point. That's basically it in a nutshell. However, there's the other side of the, like, it's a double-edged knife, let's say. If you see most people that are competitive online and winning championships, they have their force feedback turned down to almost nothing just to get their subtle nuances on the track, and that's it, because you get much less tired if you don't have to fight your wheel. So again, it's good for a realism point of view, but for a competitive point of view, people would still have their force feedback as low as possible. So,
and that's kind of the forever argument that we spoke about a few times before.
Yeah, we have.
What do you want from sim racing? Do you want to be competitive or do you want to be immersed? And for me, I have never, ever bought a piece of hardware or software or done anything to a sim that gives me a competitive advantage because I'm not interested. I want immersion.
Yeah.
Immersion and every day of the week.
You know, I mean,
we've probably all seen
online at the moment, you know, this is a different level, but unfortunately, there has been someone that's kind of exploited ACC.
I've still not seen that yet. I saw you talking about it in the chat.
There was a guy, the first one he did, which I must admit was quite humorous because I was watching it as somebody who wasn't taking part in the event, but his car was going up the track and literally just rotating round. So his wheels weren't even, so it was doing a constant cartwheel. And then another clip that I've seen is where he was able to go through the cars, but knock them out of the way. And he would just keep driving straight. And also the speed of his car would be, but that's taking it to a whole new level.
That's just sad.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but he's now, apparently he's now engaged with the Kunos developers and things like that. I don't know.
Good, because we've got the SRO series coming soon, so it needs to get it sorted.
Yeah, but no one's going to exploit in that series, are they? This is on public CP servers, the rated servers. But
that's even more sad, cheating on a public server. What's point? We're doing it for fun. It's a fun thing.
And it unfortunately ruins other people's fun. And so my argument would be, you know, those that are taking the realism away are technically in some scheme cheating, and it is, and that's why I think, you know, like what you just touched on SRO there, you know, having a championship where you take that cheating element away, because the equipment, I think we touched on it last week, but you weren't here, Paul, all the platforms were the same, so the monitor, the steering wheel,
yeah,
the pedals,
exactly.
You know,
the
rig.
Actually, just to, sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to, that you brought a point up that I just want to very quickly make.
Yeah.
Since I alluded to the fact I've bought a new graphics card earlier.
Yeah.
So I've, it's a fancy one, so it's nice and all singing. So now I can turn the graphics up on ACC way more than I've ever done in the past.
Yeah.
And I've got a HDR turned on as well, which is the first time I've used that. So graphically, it's much more attractive than it's ever been for me. That's made me slower. I've raced a few races just to get make sure the temperatures and all that rubbish that you normally do is right.
Yeah.
And the graphics are that good. There's been points where I've been going around a track and the sun's been setting or getting low and it's blinding me. Whereas with crappy graphics, you can't see that. You can just see the circuit and away you go. So it's slowed me down because the visual stimuli is too high.
Do you know what I can see in rain.
That is
one thing I've noticed about ACC actually is that because I have the graphics on high, I don't race them. I could get away with Epic. But yeah, when the sun is at a certain
angle, wowzers!
It's like you're actually squinting, aren't you?
Yeah, you are.
I don't race HDR. My monitor's not HDR compatible, which we discovered the other day when we were talking, which surprised me, but it's not. Even in non HDR with the graphics turned up, you still get that. Yeah,
and in rain, it's. Jeez, in rain, I love that. It's amazing. But yeah. The difference between having raindrops on or whatever the option's called, and track reflections, whatever you call them in ACC, or whatever game you're talking about, somebody who's got everything maxed out is coming into T1 blind in a wall of spray.
Somebody
who's got it on nothing can see beautiful.
That's a really good point.
That's another reason for online competitions where actually if you're rooted in the same, either somehow forcing the same settings across the board or you're physically co-located on a side.
You can't do that. You can't force the settings because someone may an i5 is where, you know, like I'm lucky to have an i9. You know, there's just...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know what parameters people can and can't apply to these sort of things, but all these
little
things...
I guess what you'd have to reduce everyone else's graphics down.
Well, yeah, you'd force everyone to have it as minimum or something daft like that. I don't know. But just little things that you wouldn't think about.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
That's
a really, really good point. I know we've kind of digressed a couple of times, but that's really...
And been doing digressions. I'm sorry about that.
That's right. Now, I'm good at it too. And it's good to digress, you know, have a bit of dynamicism. Great. One app that I think I briefly mentioned, I wasn't going to do an app, but Content Manager. If you're new to AC, for me, it's one of the, I think one of the disappointments with AC is not the driving, it's the menu system. I think we can all agree on that. So if you are new to AC, Content Manager is a app that will allow you to boot into the game and it will allow you to quickly select the car, the track, whether you're doing offline, you can quickly select qualifying, practice, etc. It also has some built-in functionality with certain apps as well that I haven't used, but people rave on about. And also we'll show you all plugins you've got, you know, because, you know, when you download one of these plugins that Davide's mentioned tonight, is you have to manually download them, extract them, and then copy them to the folder. And there are lots of YouTube guides, and I think there's a guide on Race Department as well on how to do that that I think Paul wrote a little while ago.
And a new one coming soon based on the new website layout.
All right, great. Awesome. Good to know. So it does help you understand which plugins are enabled and features in the game. Again, you can donate to Content Manager. It's not, but I did, you know, I did pay for it. It's such a... because I was using it week in... week out, and I know there's still a lot of love for Content Manager, so that's one from me that I just want to throw into the mix. Obviously, it's game specific, but AC still got so many players on Steam that it is ridiculous. ACC is nowhere near the numbers,
which is an absolute travesty. Because good as ACC what AC was, ACC blinds it in every respect possible.
I know, but what ACC doesn't have is the modding ability. And therefore,
there is that.
The volume of cars, you know, the difference is, you know, because it's limited to a series, which I get. I understand that, but get on board with ACC. It's just, love it. So thank you guys for your recommendations there. Before we go, Paul, you've been putting up some great threads on Race Department at the moment about your one today was opinion about how to fix Formula One. I mean, you're living life dangerously, sir. And also,
I've been enjoying reading the comments and just
I'm sure you have.
People lose their stuff.
I saw it's getting a bit the sim racing community can get a little bit spicy at times.
From time to time, putting it mildly.
But I love the one about seeing people's first sim racing wheel. So, you know, I think we spoke about that recently. So I knew what to Google. Memories. Sorry?
Was that Danny? That one brought memories. I went back thinking about the... Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was great.
We've got a few more. There's a few more sat in the editorial section waiting for a quiet day. So
I can imagine. I haven't read it, but I can imagine best racing game of all time got a bit spicy too.
That one's not come out yet. I don't think.
Oh, you put that one out.
You spoiled things.
16th of April.
Did I? I've already done that one. Oh, cool. Okay. I can't remember. I do that many. I can't remember.
I mean, it's almost like somebody else could help me write it. I know, you get fanboys, don't you? You've got this term fanboys. It's generally, I always think about console fanboys, where you've got Xbox versus PlayStation.
And the outstanding South Park episode they did on that one once, which was most amusing.
But you get the same in the sim racing community. Someone's very, very behind R Factor 2 and will just not accept that sometimes another game is... slightly different. I haven't read through that thread, but I can imagine it again. It got a bit spicy.
I think to keep my mental health, I avoided reading about what that was, to be honest.
I'm impressed by the development speed of Automobilista 2 at the moment. Yes, Davide?
I wanted to say about Paul's article about how to fix Formula 1 that right on the first comment, there is already the perfect solution offered by Feltat, which is adding ramps.
I love that he will just throw in a humorous comment on most things.
I just hope AMS2 has super trucks just to keep Feltat happy.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be a travesty if it doesn't happen.
He often gets a mention. So just a few other things to mention. F1 2020 has been announced, which is unbelievable because I don't know where they're going to get their data from.
Data, Codemasters.
Yeah, what? I know. Yeah, there must be some data. You'd hope. So that's coming out in, was it June?
And still no VR. Come on.
Yeah. Don't get me started. I haven't bought an F1 game in a long time, so don't worry. It's not appealing to me. Kartcraft recently had an update. AMS2 is developing rapidly at the moment. Seeing some really positive comments around that at the moment, which is good to see. So I think progress is being made. We sadly lost Sir Stirling Moss recently as well. So he's now in the race with the Racing Gods. iRacing's had some more updates. So has Seto Corsa Posizione. And Race Room as well, and America's Truck Sim. So it's good to see that even in the situation we are, these developers are able to work from home and continue the development of the games that we are loving. But I also want to touch on an announcement that was made at Race Department about Driver 61. So premium members are going to get a 25% discount on the Pure Pace Masterclass discount. So we've touched on it on the podcast a few times about how I was looking to see if I can get some coaching. I think I mentioned that Lando Norris went to a place not too far away from me, and I was like, oh, there's a place there, that's great. But looking at their website, I was thinking, it's probably out of my price range. Well, this definitely is within my price range. So something that I want to partake in, and I'll report back on the podcast whether it actually has made me, not necessarily faster, I want more the consistency and how to deal with someone breathing down my neck. So, I'm hoping I'll get some good stuff.
Call the police. Someone's breathing down your neck, call the police. Unless they're invited, then that's okay.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But if you're interested in something like that, then Driver 61, you've probably heard of them. He's got a YouTube channel as well that I've seen some of his videos on. And what was I going to say next? Just check out Race Department for the details. And if you're not a premium member, it only costs about 15 euros, and you know, come and join in some club races, because at the moment the community is thriving, which is great to see. Everybody's got a bit more time for sim racing, which is absolutely fantastic, and long may it continue and people get hooked. And it's good to see more and more drivers getting into sim racing, like Jason Plato has gone on board, which
who'd have thought that. I hope the net code's good.
Yeah,
I hope the net code's good in whatever he races, because he's going to do his little punt and shunt. So
And also I saw that one of the there's a guy in British Touring Cars also recently got a sim rig as well. That's really, really good to see, which was something we touched on in last episode. So you know, we talk about
let's hope this gets somebody excited about a British Touring Car game.
Yeah.
I know I'm English, so it kind of makes it as though I'm being biased for my national series, but the BTCC's got a variety, it's got the racetracks, it's got the number of cars, the close racing. It's crying out for a sim. So that would be amazing if that generates a little bit of thought around that side of things.
It would be. It would be good. Right, so time's come to say goodbye. A little bit over what I was planning, but not too bad. David Day, thank you very much for joining this evening.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Next time, let's arrive on time, yeah?
It was just 5 minutes.
Yeah, but five minutes has a knock on now, and I'm going to go bed 5 minutes later than planned. I mean, that's my beauty sleep, isn't it?
Sorry.
And Paul needs his beauty sleep.
I do. You should see the state of me. Danny, thank you very much once again, sir.
Thank you, as always.
Cheers, mate. And to Lego Hair Jeffrey, thank you, sir.
Slick hair, Jeffrey. You mispronounced it. It must be a southern thing. Yeah, thanks, mate. Thoroughly enjoying it. Glad to be back and chewing the proverbial fat with you guys.
Don't forget, you can tweet us at Race Department. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any suggestions or topics, I think we touched it last week. Something you got any questions for us? You know, things we'd like to do. Then send them our way. We're more than happy. You can also post on the thread about this episode as well once it's released. Paul will post that up on racedepartment.com. Once again, guys, you know, stay safe. Look after yourselves, your friends, your family and whatnot. Abide by the rules. You know, the longer we do that, hopefully the sooner we'll be able to go back to some form of normality, whatever that looks like. So do hope you are all safe and keeping well. So thank you once again for David Day and Danny and Paul for joining me. I've been Paul Glover. This has been the Race Department Podcast. Cheerio.